again, and welcome to another episode of Real Talk with RJ. If this is your first time listening, please don't forget to like and subscribe and follow so you know exactly when we release brand new episodes. Also, don't forget to share. If you like what you hear, share it with everyone you know. Now, Disney has been making lots of new movies lately. And one of the very interesting things that has just recently happened is the teasers about the brand new Disney live action film, The Little Mermaid. It's starring a black girl who's going to be playing the role of Ariel. And we've seen the brand new live action film that's also being advertised right now by Disney, which is Peter Pan and Wendy. And we're seeing Peter Pan's, the story that was about Peter Pan is now being Peter Pan and Wendy. So now to pander to the woke, you know, the woke society out there and the girl power society and everything, rather than let this character who was created to be the protagonist of this story, rather than let him shine, they now put Wendy at the forefront with him, which that's not how the story was created. The story was created with Peter Pan being the protagonist, and the antagonist is Captain Hook. So now we see Tinkerbell, who's in this, also being a black girl. Now, is there a problem with, you know, adding black people on Disney or anything like that? Absolutely not. That's not at all my objection. My objection comes from the fact that this stuff is pandering. Now, let's just kind of flip the script a little bit. Now, let's say the story was all about Wendy. Let's say Wendy was the protagonist of the Peter Pan series, but it was actually called Wendy. She was the hero. She can fly. She was the one that, you know, that fought Captain Hook, and like the whole world fell in love with this story because everyone fell in love with Wendy. Now, if that was a situation that happened and they were to put Peter Pan at the forefront to kind of be equal to Wendy, a lot of people would be upset and say, how come you're taking that from us? You know, why do you have to put a man in there when the story is about a woman? It's the same thing. And for anyone who knows my platform, you know, first and foremost, I don't support supremacy of any type. I'm all about equality. I believe that if we're going to talk about equality, it needs to be equality. We need to call a ball and a strike, and we need to stop taking a side of one person just because of their gender. And then if the story completely flips, then we all of a sudden we condemn that person or, you know, that character because the gender doesn't fall in line with what we believe or the circumstances don't fall in our favor. If something doesn't work, it should not work. It shouldn't be acceptable in one circumstance. Like I've always said, you know, the whole my body, my choice. It shouldn't be my body, my choice for one argument, but then for another argument, it's not my body, my choice. It's the government tells you what you got to do with your body and this, and it's okay, versus my body, my choice all across the board. Like, it's your body. You have the right to do what you want with your body. The government can't tell you what you have to do with your body. That's how it should be. Now, what is my big objection with The Little Mermaid being cast as a black girl? Well, first and foremost, the character of Ariel, who is King Poseidon's daughter in the actual Disney film, King Poseidon is a Greek god. He's white. We keep talking about, oh, well, you know, Ariel's a fictional character, so it shouldn't matter. Race shouldn't matter. Those are the arguments that I've constantly heard. I've actually done a podcast about this episode before, but now I'm seeing it with Peter Pan and Wendy, and I'm seeing it more and more and more. A lot of these live action films and a lot of these things that are coming out are now starting to come out with black people as the main characters. Now, people might say, well, you know, you're ashamed of your own people. You don't support your own culture. Like, it has nothing to do with that. I'm all about support. I'm all about, you know, uplifting my race to the best of my ability, but I'm also not about getting pacified. Disney's not doing this because they care about the black community. Disney's doing this to pander to us and to get us to buy tickets. They don't care about us. I can give you proof. Coco is an original story, and so is Encanto. Those two stories about Latino cultures, about Latino characters that were created from scratch. Maybe Coco was inspired by an actual woman, but the fact is that they didn't remake this stuff. They created these things. Disney has the talent, abilities, and money to create brand new characters. So rather than actually create a brand new mermaid character who happens to be black, or introduce new characters who happen to be black in the Ariel story, they would say, no, you know what? Let's give a character who was created as a white character, which doesn't even matter. The fact that she was created white doesn't mean that she's better than any other culture. It just means this character in particular was created white. Just like Charlie Brown was created white. Just like the Hulk was created green. Just like Peter Parker traditionally was created white. All the comics have shown these characters are created in this image. Black Panther was created black. If I'm telling you right now, people are saying these are fictional characters. We shouldn't be upset about Ariel being a black girl or a black actress playing that role. But I'm telling you right now, if Black Panther, because Wakanda doesn't exist, it's not a real place. It's also a fictional character. If they were to recast the lead, like they made Black Panther Chris Hemsworth. If they were to put a white person playing Black Panther, America, especially the woke, would lose their mind. Like, are you serious? You're going to take away a black character that we have? So how come there's no outrage over, I mean, there is outrage, but how come the same level of energy and outrage is not being pushed over this white character who's traditionally white being cast as a black girl? We don't need, like, no culture needs a handout. You can create new characters. They created Frozen. The Frozen franchise was completely original characters. They can create black characters. They can create black mermaids. They can create, and when they wanted to Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse, they weren't recreating Spider-Man. They were utilizing the multiverse theory, to actually create this this concept. And they created they had a boy who was also, you know, in the parallel of being bit by a spider. And they show the original Spider-Man, the original Peter Parker. And they show all these different versions, like a cartoon Peter Parker, like a black and white comic book Peter Parker, a girl Peter Parker. Like, they show all these different characters. And it was not remaking Spider-Man. It was adding a new Spider-Man to the concept of multiple Spider-Mans all across the different universes. So that was what they were trying to do. So with Ariel being a traditionally white character, to cast her as a black actress to play this role, it seems disingenuous. It seems very much like this is a pandering move. Like, we see politicians all the time go out and, you know, they take, there's like a science to it. When they're running for office, very often these politicians, you know, they put their collared shirts on, they unbutton the first one or two buttons, no tie, no jacket. And then they go to the warehouses. They go to the places where the big factories, car factories and stuff like that. They sit down there. They roll their sleeves up. It's a science, or it's a scientific strategy to get people to feel that, we're one of you. I want to roll my sleeves up and start working with you side by side. That's what we're here to do. We're a team. That's what they try to make you see. But they don't care about you, because if they care about you, these politicians would keep their word and the promises that they make when they look you right in the eye and say, look, we're going to get more jobs in this factory. I'm going to bring more jobs back from other countries, and we're going to bring them right here to America, and we're going to make America stronger. We're going to put us back to work. And then once they get in office, they do everything but that, if they accomplish anything at all. In fact, they put more jobs out to different countries. They give more of our tax dollars to different countries. They don't even care. But the fact is that they're pandering to you to get you to shut up and to achieve an end result. What Disney is doing right here is pacifying the black community by saying, look, we have black characters. But if they really cared about us, they would create original characters and put them in new movies. How many new original black characters have we seen? We saw some in Lightyear who happened to be lesbian. Okay, so what? You know, that's a whole different subject. But they had that character. We see some in this new My Dad's a Bounty Hunter or whatnot, that movie. Like, we're starting to see some original characters. But they have the power. This is their franchise. This is their brand. They have the power to create new Mermaid movies. They have the power to introduce and do spinoffs from The Little Mermaid by having The Little Mermaid be a white actress, which is the traditional character, and then saying, you know what? Let's introduce a black girl in there. Let's actually introduce some black mermaids that come over, that swim out there, interact with them, and then become best friends with Ariel. You're still sticking to the storyline. You still have Prince Eric that comes out. You still have Ursula and all the and King Poseidon, because again, he's a Greek god. King Poseidon is a god of the sea, who's Greek, who's white. So I don't know if the Greek god of the sea happens to adopt, you know, or something like that. But the fact is that they should stay true to the source material. And I know that, again, I know this is Disney's concept. I know this is their story. I know this is their character, and they can do whatever they want with it. But again, we're seeing Disney put out original characters with all these other ethnic groups. How come they're not doing that with us? Why are we filling in roles of traditionally white characters? That seems like a handout. And handouts aren't earned. Handouts aren't appreciated. That's like what the masters used to do back in slavery. And yes, I'm going to take it to this example. The masters would go back, and after they finished eating, if they didn't want something, they threw it to their slaves like they were dogs. It's essentially what Disney is doing to the black community by giving us white roles. And it's not saying these roles are meant for white people, but the characters that were created, the artist that created the character known as Tinkerbell created a white character. The artist that created Rapunzel created a white character. The artist that created Ariel created a white mermaid. There's nothing wrong with a white mermaid or a white fairy. Especially when fairies, if I'm not mistaken, fairies come from, like, you know, the type of lore that is known for white or for white culture. And I could be wrong. I believe that fairies come from like Scottish or Irish lore or something like that. I believe they're along the lines with like leprechaun type of lore. I could be wrong. But the fact is that fairies don't come from Africa. Fairies don't come from Barbados or anything like that. I'm not saying that there are no black fairies, but I'm saying Tinkerbell. The character of Tinkerbell was not a black girl. She wasn't a black character. And we keep hearing people over and over say, you know, race doesn't matter. Race doesn't matter. Well, if it doesn't matter, why are they making it a black character? What's the whole purpose? Why create or why recast somebody who's known to look a certain way as a different color? And I've also said this as well. If they were to make a new Avengers movie, and instead of making the Hulk green, they made the Hulk pink, or they made him rainbow color and just like totally make him look like the rainbow flag, the movie's going to flop. I don't care how good it is, because you have a lot of like loyal comic book fans that are going to look at the Hulk and say the Hulk is not a rainbow colored person. He's green. That's what makes him the Hulk. That's his iconic culture. That's his iconic look. That's his trademark look. A green, muscular person that just goes crazy and is full of rage. And She-Hulk is not the woke thing that you saw on whatever. I don't know what channel that was, or I don't even remember what was doing. I think it might be Disney Plus. But it flopped because the She-Hulk was not at all what the source material said she was. They just made it into a big woke thing, and Disney keeps having this problem of flopping left and right. They're not getting anything that's successful because they keep trying to push this woke agenda rather than just trying to entertain. You know, when The Woman King was released, when I wanted to go watch that movie, I thought that movie was awesome. I was like, man, they did a good job on this movie. And then I did some research on the actual source material of the movie, of the tribe that they were portraying and stuff like that. And I was like, oh crap. This movie flipped the script. The tribe that Viola Davis's character was portraying, that tribe was a known slave tribe. They were not trying to liberate their people. They were trying to enslave them so that they can sell them off and make money. That was one of the most renowned slave tribes out there. They were known for that. And they didn't talk about that part. They made it look like the tribe was actually trying to liberate. And what did they do? What did Viola Davis do? And what did a lot of these other woke people do. They said, if you don't support this movie, then, you know, you're saying that a woman can't lead in the box office. Well, Zoe Saldana did in Avatar 2, The Way of Water. And there's other movies out there where women were leading in the box office as well. And they weren't pushing woke agendas. They were just trying to entertain. When you're pushing a woke agenda and you have to shame people into watching your movie, the movie's not good. I never once heard James Cameron try to shame people into watching this film. And some of the greatest films out there that are just like thriving, people aren't shaming them into that. Maverick. Top Gun 2, Maverick. They didn't shame anyone into watching that film. People went to go watch it. And it got an extraordinarily high rating on Rotten Tomatoes. I was about to say Rotten Potatoes. they got an extraordinarily high rating on Rotten Tomatoes. And that's what happens when you make a good movie. There was once upon a time where good movies motivated people to go watch them. They didn't need to put an agenda out there. They didn't need to try to sneak in some type of woke agenda or pander to anyone. It was all about writing a creative script like La La Land. La La Land did incredible at the box office because it was a beautiful script. It did really well. The Great Gatsby, based off of the book, did very well. Titanic, based off of the actual event, and then James Cameron's version of it did very well. It broke records. When you make good movies, the numbers don't lie. People will go see those good movies. But when you're putting this woke crap in there and you're pandering to people, people aren't stupid like that. Yes, you're going to get a bunch of sheep that are going to watch this stuff and eat everything you tell them because they're not going to do their own research. And they're going to sit there and listen to what their favorite celebrities are saying and go, oh, well, my favorite celebrity said this, so it has to be true. I remember a day when celebrities weren't political. I remember a day when actors acted and kept their mouth shut after that. They didn't tell you about what they thought about. In fact, I don't recall in my lifetime growing up, I don't recall ever hearing any actors talk about Bill Clinton, talk about George Bush. Oh, actually, Kanye West said George Bush doesn't like black people. I remember watching that live during a charity. But like for the most part, I don't remember hearing any other celebrities talking about how they don't like a politician up until Trump. Then people started coming up and being very political. The Rock has never endorsed a politician until Biden was running against Trump. And that's when all of a sudden, magically, The Rock comes out and goes, you know, I've never endorsed a politician before, but Senator or Vice President Biden, I totally support you, and I believe that you're the man for the job. I'm like, are you freaking serious? Out of all the people you can come out and support, you support this guy who can't even create a full sentence? I mean, yeah, if you don't like Trump, hey, go for it. Say what you don't like this guy, but come on. There were better candidates than this guy. This guy can't even stand up on a bike. He can't formulate a complete sentence. He keeps getting caught left and right saying that he was doing things that he actually didn't do. I don't know. Maybe he's quoting other people's lifestyles and saying that he actually lived that and actually did that. So things have changed. Things have changed substantially. Like fans are getting shamed into watching movies. Because they know we're like, especially there's a lot of, and I'm going to say this because again, this is real talk with RJ. So my opinion is real. It's based off my own opinion, but there's a lot of members of the white community that are being shamed into doing things to prove that they're not racist. I don't believe at all that all white people are racist. I think that's super far from the truth. As I've said many times in previous broadcasts, there's not a single black signature on the Emancipation Proclamation. There's not a single picture out there of the Million Man March that's just black people. There are white people left and right. There were Jews left and right. There were Catholics. There were Methodists, Presbyterians. There are people all over the faith line, all over the faith field, just completely standing there at the Million Man March, right there, side by side. Women and men, side by side, there for one purpose, and that was equality. That's what equality looks like. It's not supremacy. Blacks weren't fighting for supremacy back then. Whites weren't fighting for supremacy back then as a whole. There were many people out there who were trying to fight for white supremacy, who were white at that time, but there were also millions that were fighting for us to to have equality. But we don't hear about that on the news anymore. Now, if you have a difference of opinion against the woke left, then all of a sudden, you're racist. If you have different views, you're a homophobe. If you believe in God, oh my gosh, they cast you out of the schools. They don't want anything to do with you. Whatever happened to the good old days when we can have a conversation and have two different points of view and that was okay? Because at the end of the day, you're both human. I remember when I was growing up, when like sometimes like after being bullied for a little bit, you stand up for yourself, you fight, you take care of the bully. Now you guys become good friends. Like you're like, all right, we're done. Let's go. Let's go get something to eat or let's go hang out. These days, the bullying is very different. Now people cyberbully you and kids are like, oh my gosh, my life is so hard. I'm like, you have no idea what a hard life is. What, they didn't like your picture, so now you're miserable. And you just like want to lock yourself in your room and do some bad things to yourself. Like, come on now, that's not bullying. That's it's irritating, absolutely, but it's not bullying. Bullying is when you're walking next to a pool in your full clothes with your homework in your backpack and you get pushed in the pool. Or like you're a freshman on Freshman Friday, for those who remember those days. Thankfully, that never happened to me. I was actually one of the popular kids in school, so I was blessed with that pass. But I remember watching kids that were walking next to, like, I remember watching freshmen in high school that were walking next to a trash can, and some of the bigger football players or some of the bigger kids would, like, pick that kid up and throw him head first in the trash can, you know, or, like, throw him in a dumpster and make him climb out. You know, it was never entertaining to see that. It was always sad to see that. But that was bullying. Getting locked in a locker where, you know, you're stuck in your own locker, banging on the door, asking somebody to unlock it and tell them the combination. That is bullying. Every day you go to the restroom in school, you got bullies waiting for you. And then they, as soon as you go in there, they start beating you up unless you pay them. That's bullying. A lot of people have no idea what bullying is today. You know, and then and then just talking about the stuff right now, people are so freaking sensitive. Now, if you just say the wrong thing to somebody, they get offended. And then you could even lose your job and all kinds of stuff like that. There are people who have such a sense of entitlement that they're getting offended on your behalf. If I have a white buddy who makes a racist joke to me, that guy and I, we understand each other. I know this person's not racist. That's why he's my buddy. But I told him he doesn't have to walk on eggshells. Like, none of my white friends have to walk on eggshells. I tell them, I make white jokes, they make black jokes, because it's all in good favor. It's all in good fun. The only thing I've ever asked any of my white acquaintances or friends is like, look, if you're going to make fun of race, please make fun of the whole spectrum. Don't just make black jokes. You want to make fun of Latinos, Asians, or everything? Joke about it. It's cool. Humor's humor. I'm not going to censor your humor. You know, all I ask is that you just make sure that everyone goes up there and you're including everybody and be inclusive in the racial jokes. It's funny. And there's also a time and a place. You know, we're not going to be standing in a very nice area or an important platform and start making racial jokes. Like, that's not okay. But I don't censor any of my associates or my friends, you know, unless they're very out of line, unless they're making some really messed up, disrespectful statements. That's when I'll, like, tell them, hey, you need to cut it down. You're doing too much now. But, you know, these people out there now, if I have a white buddy that makes a joke, a black joke, and I laugh at it, then somebody else hears it, some Karen or somebody goes up and like, I'm offended for you. You should not be making jokes like that. You're white. You have white privilege. I just look at him like, are you freaking serious? I'm so tired of hearing people talk about white privilege because they're only focusing on one type of privilege. You're not focusing on black privilege. You're not focusing on Asian privilege. They're not, every race has stereotypes against them, and every race has stereotypes for them. And stereotypes are stereotypes because more often than not, they're true. I'll give you an example. There's a stereotype about Asians who don't drive well. Not all Asians drive bad. But how many times have you been on the freeway? You've been driving. You're trying to move forward and you're trying to go at the speed limit, and the car in front of you is driving very, very slow. There's nobody in front of that car. And you're like, oh my gosh, drive the speed limit. You're getting irritated. You're flashing your high beams. You're looking around, and then you finally get an opening to go around them. And you're mad because you want to flip this person off or look at them and just, you know, give them that glaring look. And then you see that it's an Asian person. And then you're just like, makes sense. Are you right in feeling that way? No. Is that racist? Probably. But the fact is that a stereotype is a stereotype more often than not, because it's often true. You don't make stereotypes based off of complete lies. Like, that's not a stereotype. That's just a racist conclusion. But a stereotype is something that a lot of people in that ethnic community are known for, or a lot of people in that group are known for. It is what it is. That's what stereotypes actually are. They don't just come out of nothing. They are often true. So I have my buddies make jokes about everybody, not just one group. And I just think that it's important to start calling out Disney and start calling out all these groups out there that are just pandering, rather than creating brand new characters. Aren't blacks just as good as whites? I thought so. Aren't blacks just as good as Latinos? I thought so. I thought we were all supposed to be equal. There are good and bad in every race. And I'm so sick and tired of hearing people talk about, oh, white people are racist. No, they're not. There are racist white people, yes. But white people as a whole are not racist. Black people as a whole are not racist. But there are racist black people. There is no monopoly on racism for just white people. So to sit there and go, oh, white people are born racist or inherently racist, that's BS. You're not born racist. Whether you're black, white, Asian, Latino, whatever the case may be, nobody is born a racist. That is something you're taught. And often it's taught as a result of your circumstantial or your geographic location or your family. It's something that's taught to you based off of what you see, what you experience. My mother, she had been physically abused and very much bullied when she was growing up. She was bullied by, she was in like one of the only black girls at an all-white school, and she was bullied severely by white people. She has lots of reasons to be ignorant and say, I hate all white people. I can't stand white people anymore because of what I've been through. She has lots of reasons to say that, but she knows that not all white people are bad. She was actually close. She was very close to believing that and saying, you know what, white people are racist. I don't want anything to do with them. She's very close because it was a consistent occurrence that was happening with her. But one day, because somebody actually had burned a cross on my mom's lawn when she was a young girl, and the news talked about it. You know, the Ku Klux Klan was actually burning crosses on her lawn and trying to like get her out of there, and a bunch of members of the Black Panthers and the Brown Bray, which is actually a Latino group, they came to go meet her dad, and they started talking, say, hey, is there anything we can do? You know, we'll take care of those people that did this. We'll find them. My dad, or her dad, was like, no, don't do that. Leave them alone. They're going to be stupid. Let them be stupid. We're safe. Nobody was hurt. Nothing was damaged. It's okay. So somebody who happened to see that story on the news, they wrote a letter, and it happened to be a white woman. And she wrote this letter to my mom, and she told her, sweetheart, I sincerely apologize for what you and your family went through. And I just want you to know, not all white people are like that. There's good and bad in every race, and I sincerely hope that you don't change your mind about white people. There's a lot of good white people out there. That letter is one of the things that changed my mom's opinion. That kind of brought her to see that there's good and bad in every race. There really is. There are negative stereotypes and good stereotypes about every race. There are good and bad in every race. So rather than sit there and isolate ourselves and be part of all these like these black only organizations, why would we want to do that? We should celebrate differences. We should celebrate culture. We should celebrate like what makes us unique. When you go to different, you don't go to the same restaurant all the time. You get tired of the same food at some point. Especially if you work in that restaurant, at some point you're going to get tired of eating there. You want to go somewhere else. So why would you want everybody to be the exact same? Everybody has to believe the same thing. Everybody has to see the same thing. It's the differences that make this world beautiful. When you look at a work of art, it's a different picture, or excuse me, the different colors, different brush strokes that make that piece of art appealing. If you see a canvas that is completely white, it's boring. But having said that, if you're an artist, you often can see what's about to happen. You can see what is going to happen, or you can see the potential of that canvas or what it can become. But for everybody else, they're not going to put a blank canvas inside of a in a museum because it's boring. People are like, I don't feel like wasting any time looking at a blank canvas. There's nothing there. So, I mean, I know I have listeners right now that are listening live right now, and I know some of you guys are going to be listening later on and watching this video later on, but I invite anyone who has an opinion about this, feel free to come on and take part and share some feedback you have about this, because it's important that we have this dialogue, that we have this conversation, because we are good enough to have our own roles. Anybody is. And if race didn't matter, then they wouldn't be changing Ariel to be a black girl. They wouldn't be changing Tinkerbell to be a black girl. Why can't we just go back to the good old days when we had characters and let the source material reflect those characters? One of the biggest reasons why the $700 million Lord of the Rings movie that Amazon Prime did, one of the biggest reasons why it flopped was because they didn't respect the source material. They wanted to add their woke crap into that, and it flopped. I'm telling you, anybody else, if anybody else at any job would have caused a $700 million flop, you would have lost your job and be put in prison. That's just business 101. Somebody, if you lose like $10,000 in any company, if you lost $10,000 in Home Depot, let's say you were in charge of something, you lost $10,000, you're going to lose your job and you're probably going to go to prison for just $10,000. They're going to try to persecute you or prosecute you and get you arrested for doing that. Amazon blew $700 million to make this movie. That's just sad. That's because that's what happens when you don't respect the source material. Now, Ariel is an incredible character. There are many different avenues they could have done to make this work. When, like, we keep seeing this woke stuff is flopping because there's a saying out there, you go woke, you go broke. We're seeing schools. We're seeing, actually, you know, they've done studies on this stuff that schools, like public schools, are overwhelmingly like 80% Democratic teachers. 80% of them are Democrats. In private schools, it's like somewhere around 60% Democrats. So it's a monopoly. It's not a balance, you know, here, both sides of the coin. Students all over the world or all over the United States are actually getting only one side of the coin. So they're not able to make true and correct choices by themselves because they're only given part of the information. What is the result of that? Look at North Korea. They're only given specific information. They're fed certain information. So they think that the United States is a horrible place that's full of evil people, killing each other worse than we actually are, and doing things that we're not doing. They think that their dictator is a god. They think he's got a unicorn and all kinds of unrealistic stuff because they're not able to see the outside world. So when we have all these kids being taught to use their, use these made up pronouns by their teachers, and we're trying to teach our kids English, but we're teaching them now that they represents one person when it actually represents, it's a plural, a form of speech that actually identifies more than one person. But now they're being taught, hey, you know, your female teacher is actually not female. Oh, you can dress however you want. You can dress in any gender you want. They're being taught all this stuff. Yet we're not allowed to talk about God in school. You can go ahead and talk and put some like highly erotic books, highly pornographic books in schools, in elementary schools, which are actually happening. And again, I said this on my last broadcast, not a single book goes through into the library without the librarian knowing about it. They have to catalog it. They have to write down the information of that book. They have to deliberately put that book into the circulation and into their collection. They know what they're doing. They're aware of this stuff. They're not blindly just letting these books in. They're actually doing this with the knowledge that there's erotic stuff in this book and they're going to give it to kids. But you can't find a single Bible in the library. If a teacher, like when I was growing up, if a teacher would bring up God, they could lose their job immediately. They get them kicked out immediately. You're not allowed to talk about the creation. You can only talk about evolution. Shouldn't you be able to hear both sides of that coin? Whatever happened to the good old days when you're about to talk about sex ed, you had to have a signed permission slip from your parents saying that you can listen to that class just to make sure that it is a class being taught appropriately to kids when they're at the right age. They're not talking to parents anymore. Parents have no idea what the kids are learning until after the incident has happened. That's scary, because we really don't know what our kids are learning in these public schools. And then we see over and over again, we see it on YouTube, we see it on TikTok, we see it on all these different forms of social media where parents are filling the rooms in these town halls of the school board. They're filling where now it's just standing room only. They're filling these spaces and they're telling these teachers, how dare you put pornography inside my kid's library? How dare you give this kind of crap to my kid? How dare you try to convince my child that my biological boy, my biological son, that he is not something that he is? Like, how dare you try to change who he is to fit your narrative? And then the school board's just sitting there looking at him, just going through the motions, and then they don't care. There's a school, recently actually in Arizona, in Glendale, a school board that has been very well known for hiring student teachers that were from Arizona Christian University, ACU. They're from Arizona Christian University. These student teachers will come over and actually teach a lot of these students. And they were Christian. That was a very, like, many, many, many teachers that were students and other teachers that would actually come over and volunteer and help out. This has been going on for a long time, successfully, with no problems. There are no issues, no problems. Everything has gone, you know, nicely and smoothly. These people would talk. These people would be respectful. But the school board has now stopped and rejected anyone from ACU coming over to that school in Glendale in Arizona, and told them the reason why is because you guys, your beliefs conflict with ours. Why is it only one reason? Or why is it only one way? How come Christians are being so persecuted and being taken out of everything? You know, you got atheists out there like that, rather than just be okay with not believing that there is a God and not believing in God, they're like, no, I don't want God in schools. I don't want God on money. I don't want God anywhere in life. So rather than just have that choice from themselves, they make that choice for everybody. It seems like the woke media and the woke left, like, it seems like these people who are woke, when they make a choice, they make that choice for everybody. They take away your freedom to think for yourself, speak for yourself. If you believe, like, we saw it many times with a whole bunch of people, you know, in hospitals, like there's a bunch of nurses that were like, I'm not going to take care of anybody who's a Trump supporter. There were, and you know, they got fired, of course, for feeling that way. But how many people didn't voice that opinion that actually felt that way? They were making that decision for you. They were scaring people. There were people who were dying. There were people who were getting refused service. They weren't letting you in. If you're walking around with a Make America Great Again hat, if you had walked around minding your own business, just wearing that hat, people would walk over and snatch the hat off of you. They would beat you up, throw stuff at you, dump things on you. And then when you're like, what the heck? But let somebody wear a Biden hat, even though Biden is giving hundreds of billions of
your voice, you need to connect it first.
In the Alexa app, stop. That was funny. They're always listening. But it's just really, I just find it really interesting that I just heard that talking and I was like, what the heck? Let me find out the government is just monitoring my podcast and just trying to interrupt my show. Well, like, let's say you had a Biden hat on. A Biden and Harris hat on. You just wanted to walk around with a big Biden Harris hat and the sweatshirt and a t-shirt and all that stuff like that. Let's say you wanted to do all that stuff. Nobody would mess with you. Nobody would snatch your hat off. Nobody's going to beat you up. Nobody's going to assault you. Nobody's going to throw anything at you or pour anything on your head. But at worst, you'll probably have somebody go, thanks a lot for the high gas prices. I appreciate your vote. thanks a lot for all my tax dollars going to Ukraine rather than being here in America where I'm paying taxes. My tires are getting destroyed by the roads that have potholes left and right in them. Meanwhile, the wife of Zelensky, the Ukrainian president, she's going on $25,000 shopping sprees with your money. Yeah, great. Thanks a lot. I appreciate that. That's about as worst as you're going to get is just somebody who says something to you because they're frustrated with how the economy is and how our country is right now. It seems really interesting. Maxine Waters goes out and calls violence. Like, she literally goes out and says, if you see anybody that's a Trump supporter in public, go out and get your friends, gather around them, put pressure on them, make them feel unwelcome. Make sure that they know that it is not safe or acceptable to support Trump. She literally called for violence to do that. Nancy Pelosi was like, I don't even know why people are out in the streets rioting right now. I don't know why people are being crazy right now. Jane Fonda on The View, I think it was yesterday or so, they're talking about, My Body, My Choice and pro-lifers and stuff like that. And they're like, how do you solve the problem with these pro-lifers? And Jane Fonda literally said, murder. She actually said that. She said those words. And that is her words exactly. I quote those to you. She said that. And everyone else was like, be careful saying that because, you know, people might take you serious. She goes, I am serious. That's the only way to take care of it. No news media is talking about it. CNN's not talking about it. I'm like, oh my gosh, she's calling for violence. Nobody's talking about it except for conservative YouTubers who are bringing it up. But then they want to talk about Donald Trump. They want to say, oh, January 6th, he called for an insurrection. He called for a big, huge riot. Oh my gosh, that guy is so evil. And they kept showing you a loop, a small snippet of actually footage from there. But then Tucker Carlson actually looked at all the footage and started showing the footage there. And it was anything but what they said it was. In fact, we see FBI agents that were right there pulling people into the Capitol. We see Capitol Police going in to open the doors that were locked and calling for some person who was in charge actually saying, hey, this door is locked. I can't open it. And then they put their hands up and then the door opens up and they're letting people in. They're literally walking around. We're seeing the opposite of what they told us was happening. And we also see that Donald Trump said, I know that many of you are going to march down to the Capitol and peacefully have your voices heard. He literally said that. They cut out all the woke media. They cut out the word peacefully and said, we're going to have our voices heard. That is all they said. Context is a very important thing. I'm sure every one of us has had an experience where somebody happened to walk in at the wrong time in our conversation and they heard some words, which we knew the context, but when they heard it, it was completely out of context. Context is a big deal. So when you're hearing just little snippets, that's malicious. When you're being told just little bits and pieces of the story rather than the full story, that's malicious. If something is good, they won't hide it for you. If the Democrats did something good, I'm telling you, they're going to tell you every little detail about what they did to make sure you know every detail that they did was good. If it's bad, they're only going to tell you the best parts of it so you don't see the bad. That's what people do. They minimize the bad and they maximize the good. That's what people do, especially malicious people. Now, I'm not saying all Democrats are bad. There are, again, and I'll say this until I'm blue in the face, There are some Democrats that are decent, good people that want to fight for freedom and fight for equality and fight for the right reasons, but their party's not letting them because they're party over people. And then there's a number of Republicans that are also corrupt, that are pushing the same agendas. They're just lifetime members that are dead weight. They don't do anything for our country. They're in office for 40 plus years and they do nothing for our country. So why did I talk about all this? Because this is the world that is being created when we force agendas on people that don't want those agendas. We need to stand side by side with people who disagree with us and respect their opinion. I believe wholeheartedly A woman has the right to be as promiscuous as she wants. That's your body. That's your choice. You do not have the right, however, if you want to be one of those types of women, you do not have the right to expect a good man to change his morals to fit yours. It's the same thing for a woman or for a man. A man has the right to be as promiscuous as he wants. He can be a player and do all that stuff like that, but you do not have the right to demand that a good woman accept you for who you are if she's looking for a good man. A good woman is not going to settle for a bad man, just like a good man is not going to settle for a bad woman. And for anybody else who falls outside of those lines, you can personalize it to yourself. I'm not going to spend a ton of time sitting there and trying to be politically correct. I don't do that. I fought for free speech as a veteran. I don't do the whole little PC crap. That's garbage to me. That's an act of terrorism on the First Amendment. So if you're offended by me saying only male, female, I'm not intentionally disqualifying you or excluding you. I'm not persecuting you. I'm just not going to go through every single gender and every single way that possibility or that example can be applied. It's stupid to me to see people go through that. That's nonsense. It's to the point. I say male and female. If you like male, male, or female, female, you can personalize it when I use the example male, female. Because my message is to anybody who's willing to listen. If you don't want to listen, change the channel, stop the video, tune out of this broadcast. I'm talking to people who want to listen. People who may disagree with me, that's fine. But at the end of the day, we're having a dialogue. Because I'm telling you, when there are, like, there's so many woke people that persecute Christians because they have differences of opinion. They persecute us. But when there's a tornado that tears through their people, through their cities, the first people there are not atheists. The first people to give up their own boat, their own car, to take off their shoes and wade through that water and help find and pull people out of the rubble are Christians. 99% of the time, it's Christians who mobilize to make sure that people's lives are saved. We don't wear this big cross on our chest and try to say, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm here to help you. No, we just get out there and do it. And we just happen to be Christians. The majority of the most successful charities out there are Christian-based. And people want to push Christians to the side and say, we don't want anything to do with you. Do you realize that the laws are based off of Judeo-Christianity? Thou shalt not kill. Murder's illegal. Thou shalt not steal. Stealing's illegal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Sleeping with a married woman is illegal in the military. And in other countries, it's also illegal. And it's also a great way to lose every dime that you have in the bank if you're married. It's a great way to lead to divorce and lose everything you've worked hard for. So the people talk about Christianity and say, oh yeah, Christianity is all, you know, it's about controlling people and stuff like that. Actually, no. True Christians are not controlled. We say that commandments are commandments. That's because that's what they're called. But realistically, they are suggestions for happiness. If you want to be happy with your own marriage, don't covet what your neighbors have, what other people have. Be content with what you have, and you'll have peace. If you want to be happy in life, don't murder, don't steal, don't commit adultery, because there's no way you're going to be happy with yourself or with your spouse if you're committing adultery. Love others as you want them to love you. Love God with all your heart, mind, and strength. These things lead to happiness. Like, there are imitations of happiness, but those are always temporary. But real happiness and real joy, it doesn't have an end. It never stops. Every time I think about a good deed that I did with somebody, it always makes me feel just as good as when I did it. I always feel just as happy. It's a happiness that doesn't stop. Real Christians, real good people, we don't talk about everything we did. We don't turn on TikTok and start recording ourselves doing a good deed just so we can post it on TikTok or social media and say, hey, look what I did. When there were riots, I went out and cleaned up. I picked up some trash. No, we don't do that. We go because we're too busy working and doing it. We don't have time to sit there and film ourselves. And when people start asking us, hey, can I ask you guys, can I interview real quick? Yeah, sure. What's up? We're not asking. We're not going in front of the camera so that we can be interviewed. it just happens to be a coincidence that somebody wants to interview us because they saw what we're doing. Then they ask, hey, why are we doing this? Well, and the first thing we do is we acknowledge God. Now, some of you on here might not be like, you know, I didn't want to be preached to. It's not about being preached to. It's about understanding that people have differences of opinion, and that's okay. I've talked with some atheists who are very intelligent people. You know, I enjoy talking with people who have different views because I learn a lot. I gain so much more than I give. I love talking to Muslims because I learn so much about their culture. I ask lots of questions to understand people. And I ask lots of questions to understand people of different Christian faiths. What is it that makes you different? You know, why do you believe what you believe? Oh, okay, that's interesting. So then it helps me know, you know, the things that we have in common. With people who are woke and people who are conservative often have lots of things that are in common. But rather than focus on the commonalities, they focus on those small little differences. Sometimes when you focus on something small, it can seem pretty big, especially if you put a magnifying glass on it. Even the smallest dot can become a basketball-sized dot if you have a strong enough magnifying glass. Look at stars and galaxies. They're extremely huge, but when you look at them from right here, they look like small little stars. But when you look through the Hubble telescope, then they're much bigger. That's how problems and issues are. Now, I think that having white characters is just as beautiful as having black characters. I don't think that it's fair to recast a traditionally white character to be any other race. I saw an ad for Pocahontas. I don't remember if it was a new upcoming film that they're working on as a live action, but I saw the girl in there that played Pocahontas, or that was cast for Pocahontas, and her dad was Chinese and her mother was French. Not at all Native American. There are tons of Native American people that could play that role. None of them were cast as Pocahontas. It was a Chinese French woman. I was like, you don't even look Native American. That's a problem, because Pocahontas is based off of an actual person. But guess what? John Smith was still white. So they were strict to the source material for him, but not for her. I thought that was interesting. It's like recasting Mulan, doing Mulan in a live action. Instead of actually having Mulan being a Chinese woman, they would go, you know what, we're going to go ahead and we're going to put in Ashura Rai, which is a Hindi, Indian actress. We're going to have her do it. People are like, wait a minute, this is not a Hindi movie. This is a movie based off of actual Chinese history. I think it's time for Disney to stop pandering to people, and I think it's time for them to start creating new movies. I know we're in an era right now where people, rather than create new films, they're just rebooting old films. Like, what's that movie? The Yard House. I think it's The Yard House with Patrick Swayze. But they're going to be recasting that. They're going to be recasting that movie. And I think Jake Gyllenhaal, this is a long time ago when I read this posting, but supposedly Jake Gyllenhaal is going to be one of the people that actually, that he's going to be acting on there, as he's playing the role of Patrick Swayze, and some other stuff is going on. But it's just like really interesting. It's just really, really interesting that people aren't creating original ideas. They're just recasting old ideas and trying to put a new spin off it. So we have a guest right now, Exile Minds Podcast. Hello, and welcome to the show.
Hey, buddy. You're all right. Okay.
How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. Call me Liam. It saved you a...
Nice to meet you, Liam.
Hi, nice to meet you. Yeah, I just wanted to... I've got a few comments on what you've been saying.
Outstanding.
Yeah, so that point, I like the point you made about... Aristotle made the same point that you made about the mark of an intelligent person, to paraphrase. Mark of intelligent persons to entertain a notion, but necessarily believe in it. And that's the opposite of the division policy. That's like you say, to get us focusing on all the division stuff because we've got so many things in common. So we start noticing the things we've got in common, stop fighting each other, and we're going to spot where the real enemy is.
I agree. I mean, for me, I agree 100% with the fact that You have three different legs supporting the same table. The table's strong. Like, we can have different belief systems. We can have different political views. We can have different things, but it's important for us to respect each other's views, even if we don't agree with it. And that's what makes this country strong. That's what makes us better. That's what makes this country beautiful. That's what makes the world beautiful.
I think so. I think there's a reason why we're separate as well. You know, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, this is on a philosophical level. There's only one person really here. Right. That's the way I think. There's only one person here in existence.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm, you know, separated rather. And for all this division, breakingism, I wonder if. If this is part of our human soul karma, right? Because there's a lot of aspects. I think there's like seven aspects to it, like seven rays, and the seven rowers in the boat of the world that are all completely different. Chinese thing, but there's seven completely different sailors, totally look different, they wear different clothes, they all look like, you know what I mean? But they all have to row the boat together. It's about the difference coming together.
Yeah.
And like the Holy Trinity thing, it's not necessarily to do with the Christian stuff, it's three is the magic number, right? And seven, it's, if you've got three items, there's seven ways to pick it up.
Yeah.
Fit one of them, you know, you can fit two of them together, or you fit the other two, or you fit all of them all. Then, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, that's what it's about. And I wonder if a lot of this division is happening is because the last 2,000 odd years, we've been struggling, not done very well, not learned sort of karmic lessons, and so therefore we've had to become separated. So there's individual pieces and sort of solidify themselves, ready for us to come back again. Does that make sense?
It does. And I'm just reminded of a football team. Each one of those players on a football team, whether it be American football or whether it be other type of football, each one of those members is completely different. They have a job, but they're all working for the same purpose, and that's to win the game, to work as a team. And if all of us would work for the same purpose, which is peace, we can discuss differences and actually come together in the middle and find compromises that would be appealing to each other. And I just think that it's so possible. And the government knows that. That's why they're pushing this division, because if we would stop fighting each other and focus on the real enemy, which is the corrupt government who is just selling us out to the highest bidder, I think we can make... We can clean up our own government. We have the power, but we're fighting each other too much that we won't unite for something that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the single number one most common and most effective tactic of war is divide and conquer.
Exactly.
It always works. Look at India and Pakistan now. All that happened there, they hate each other now. But all that happened is that the British went in, sailed the British Raj, learned out about the culture, looked at the division bits just like this. And all they did was went to one side and said, hey, they're like this, you're better. And went to the other side and said, hey, they're like this, and your culture, we've made this, and that's not so good, is it? You're better. That's all they did. And they got them to fight themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then weakened India, now they can't really stop us coming in and doing it. You know what I'm saying? India could, India have got hedgerows that are impenetrable. They could have just built head walls if they wanted to make our life difficult. But they were too busy fighting each other because you've just introduced Christianity to a bunch of Hindus. You know what I'm saying? It's like.
Thank you so much, Liam, for coming on. I really appreciate you, man. You gave some really good feedback, and I really do appreciate that. Because it's true. Like, what you're saying is that we have so much that we could accomplish. And honestly, if we were to stand side by side and just unite, we definitely could clean, because I know 100%. That an atheist who has children and a Christian who has children both want those kids to be able to go to school without their schools being shot up. I know that a Buddhist, a Muslim, a Catholic, a Presbyterian, etc., it doesn't matter what you believe. If you have kids going to a public school, every one of us wants our kids to go there safely. None of us wants to worry about our kids coming home. I'm like, man, I hope my baby comes home today. I hope they don't get shot. None of us feels like, oh, I don't care if my kid gets shot. Every one of us cares about our children. And if we can focus on the big things rather than small little the differences, because wars are often based off of differences. Now, I get it. Sometimes war is necessary because the differences are very important. Like for me, personally, I'm a stickler for the First Amendment. I'm a stickler for, you know, for the Constitution of the United States. That's one of the things I fought for as a vet. I believe in free speech, even when I disagree with it. I will stand up and defend the rights of a Ku Klux Klan member. And I honestly mean that. As much as I detest racism and I detest the abuse of the First Amendment, I still support the First Amendment. I will defend the rights of the Klan to speak their mind, just like I would defend the rights of Christians to preach the gospel. It is free speech. It is the right that I support, not always the exercise and how it's demonstrated. Because I believe that the media has caused lots and lots of wars. They've caused lots and lots of problems and stuff like that. I just think that there are a lot of conflicts that are happening because the media is censoring one side of the aisle while pushing their own narrative and being completely wrong about this. And I think that that's just, it's a very big problem, and it's getting worse because they're misusing the First Amendment. Welcome back, Liam.
Thanks for having me back. If you don't mind, I thought, hang on a minute. See if anyone else.
No worries.
So yeah, so carry on. The free speech bit. I mean, it's funny to mention that because I just dumped a platform that's just changed the surgical terms on that. You know what I'm saying? And I've directly asked it, and they won't answer the question. I've directly asked, "Are you censoring people now?" Because I've got this message saying, "Oh, somebody said some medical thing," and it's come to everybody that's ever been on that server. And I'm like, whoa, okay. And then, so I asked them directly, they didn't answer the question, and then they changed the policy, and it's just gone that, like, no, global, they're gonna change it, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, they changed it to say, oh, we're gonna record everything that you upload. We might not, but we can do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, well, you just betrayed us all then. You've gone this whole way for all of that, and just right this month, you just decided, oh, we're gonna sell out. Because your company's just been valued at $18 billion through people like us doing this, and now you're going to go, nah, right at the last minute. So I've just bailed. I bailed on it and said, there's no book. Can't be good. Can't go on platforms like this, talking free speech, and support places like that. Because then you instantly become a shill, don't you? As far as I'm concerned. And the reason I'm pushing this point is so hard because the free speech is the number one issue. It is the number one issue. That's why political threats exist, so you don't get to talk to the Ku Klux Klan guy. So you don't, I interviewed somebody just the other day about voodoo, because I know nothing about it, right? And she's a lovely lady, and she's well-traveled. She knows about Haitian religion, so I've said, come on my show and tell us about it. Let me tell her the negative stuff about her. Let's find out for real, from real people like me and you. Because the reason, the language thing matters so much, because the world is made of language. Understand this, people. The world is made out of language. If you can't describe something, you haven't got a word for it, it don't exist. I always make this point, the conquistadors wrote clearly in their diaries. These natives could not see our ships. Shamans could, the people that done thought about stuff could see them. But your average person in the Americas could not see the Spanish ships because they've got no concept of it. Now you imagine what's being done to your mind when you're being repeated over and over again, the basic form of brainwashing.
Yeah.
You look at social media, the studies are coming through now. The more you check your social media, the more apathy you've got, and it's changing kids' physiological brain.
Yeah.
Yeah, the more stimulus you get, the more sex and violence you see, the more desensitized you get. You get slow response times when somebody's injured, up to the point where you hear gunshots and don't respond. It desensitizes you and shuts you down. Makes you pliable, dumbs you down. They want docile chickens. For real.
It's true. That's 100% true. It's really interesting because desensitization, I believe that's how you say it, being desensitized to society, it's dangerous. Because if we're not aware of what's going on, that's how people become victims. Like if you go to the gas station, and you're spending all this time focusing on your phone rather than keeping your eyes around you and watching what's going on. People are getting robbed, you know, at gas stations while they're in the middle of pumping their gas because they're not paying attention to who's around them or who's coming up there. And that's really how you stop from being a victim, is keeping your eyes up. But people are too busy spending all this time on their phones and, and just hungering for those likes, that we're willing to do whatever it takes to get those extra likes rather than find, like, filter all the garbage out and actually get valuable, important information into our lives.
Yeah, and it's real sad as well, because I'm telling you this now, like, say, so you just said about writing books and stuff, maybe you should write a book, somebody recommended. And I'm thinking, yeah, actually, that saying, everyone's got a book in them, and then someone says, oh, it might not be a good one. But the truth is, unless you've got brain damage and something wrong with your brain, everyone's a genius. And the only reason we're not acting like geniuses and doing miracles is because we don't know we can do them.
Yeah.
It's the only reason. Mm-hmm. Only reason, and they spend all of their time trying to nerf us. Think about it, like Morpheus, we're still here. It's not working. It's never worked. We're still here.
I agree. And again, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate your feedback and everything like that. And I was thinking about also some of the biggest, I think that every situation, every platform out there, every difference out there, there is a middle ground. Like for me, Going back to the First Amendment, I'm a big First Amendment person. And one of those parts of the First Amendment is freedom of religion. So when we're talking about abortion and abortion rights, you have lots of women out there saying, you have no right to tell me what I can and can't do with my body. I'm like, you know what? You're right. So how can we find a middle ground? Like, these people come together. How can we find a middle ground? You want to be able to do what you want to do with your body. I shouldn't have to pay for it. As a taxpayer, it should be illegal for the government to do, and I believe it is, because it's a constitutional violation that nobody's pushing, but no tax dollars should come to something that violates the First Amendment. So if you have a bunch of Christians who are against abortion because it's against our faith, it's against our religious beliefs, our faith-based morals, etc., we should not have to fund abortion. If that's something you want to do, you should have that right to do what you want to do with your own body. But as a Christian, I should not be forced to pay for that, because you don't pay tithing to my church. You don't put money to keep the lights on at my church. I should not have to do anything that violates my religious beliefs just to accommodate you. No, it's not working the other way. You guys aren't, like, no non-believer or non-Christian, etc., is paying or being forced to fund other churches or other religious beliefs. That's just not happening. These different religious sects are responsible with raising their own money to keep their own lights on and do their own charities, etc. From time to time, the government will actually work side by side for a great cause, to like feed the hungry or whatever the case may be, but it's not something that benefits that church specifically. So you have all these celebrities out there saying, oh, I support abortion. I support. All right. Well, you guys should go ahead. There should be an option on the tax returns that we do, or when we do our taxes, or anytime you make a purchase at a store or something like that, there should be an option to contribute a certain amount of tax, like 25 cents or whatever the case may be. There should be an option if you want to support abortion or support certain things that are considered controversial or that will potentially violate the First Amendment because they would go against the religious beliefs of Christians. There should be something, a button when you use your card, that allows you to donate a certain amount of money to fund abortion. That way, anybody who's taking part in abortion, those who are funding it, are all people who support that. But it should not be forced upon people who don't support that, because it's not being, you know, the opposite is not happening. Again, non-believers are not being forced to fund the churches of believers. That's not happening. So if we're going to talk about the First Amendment, we need to respect that part. We need to respect that people should not be sent. And it's really interesting how we have new platforms coming up, and they're starting off, say whatever you want, say what's on your mind. And then as they get popular and as they get really big, all of a sudden they start censoring people. But then they're censoring only one side. People can say whatever they want about Trump and how he's responsible for the virus that just happened. But then if you were a doctor and you were talking about how the media is wrong for how they're categorizing that same virus and how they're categorizing the medication that they're trying to push on everyone, then all of a sudden you're losing your license, you're getting censored, you're your channels getting deleted and put in, and you know, a temporary prison and all that stuff like that. It's just, I find that really, really interesting. Why is that such a consistent pattern? I don't think it's because these business owners are getting sensitive. I think that the powers that be, the Matrix, as it's been referred to by prominent individuals who ended up in jail, you know, because they refused to bow down to the Matrix. I believe that it's a result of people that are high up in power behind the scenes saying, hey, your platform is starting to affect millions of people. We're going to control that now. If you don't control and do what we tell you to do, we're going to take all your money. You're going to end up being in the middle of a scandal where you're going to lose your company. First thing they do is they tell you, you need to stop. They get in contact with you. They tell you, you need to stop, cease and desist with, you know, doing things we don't like. And if you don't, the next thing they do is they try to arrest you. They get something on you. They and it's often, you know, some type of, you know, physical intimate crime, because I know YouTube is very adamant about not using the other word that show that suggests physical intimacy that starts with an S, but it's a physical intimacy crime where there's somebody that just happens to show up in your hotel room, or somebody you work for has been offered a lot of money, but they can't trace that money because it's on an offshore account or something like that. But this person all of a sudden starts making allegations about how you something assaulted them, and also how supposedly, you know, you're responsible for a lot of other people that were in pain, and all of a sudden you're going to jail and you got to fight for your life, and you're in the middle of this scandal dealing with this type of assault. So then you lose your company. The board is like, we can't afford to, because a company that's that big has a board. And then the board is like, crap, we got to vote you out. We got to get rid of you and detach you. So here's your golden parachute. Here's all the money that we're going to give you for severance. We're going to leave you alone, part ways with you, because we got to save the company. So then you end up losing your company that you built. And now that same powers that be send individuals to go represent them and then go talk to them and say, hey, we already did this with this one person. You're going to obey and do what we tell you to do. Otherwise, the same thing is going to happen with you guys. And if it doesn't work, if you don't end up staying in prison and losing that, all of a sudden you end up unalive. Yeah. We keep seeing the same thing happen with Hillary Clinton. People that know her and Jeffrey Epstein that are linked. We're seeing this stuff. The most recent incident was a person that supposedly, you know, offed himself. He supposedly offed himself, yet he was tied to a tree and there was no weapon found at the scene. His life was ended by gunshots. And there was no firearm found at the scene. And he was tied to a tree. Jeffrey Epstein did not end his own life. And a number of other people that are related to the same people that are traced and linked to both of them, they didn't end their own lives. I'm telling you, not that many people are willing to end their own life like that. They knew they were loose ends that these individuals needed to tie up. That's what ended up happening. So yes, the Matrix is alive and very, very real. They're the reasons why other corporations are starting to go woke, even though they don't want to. They're doing it because they're, you know, part of self-preservation. Disney, me personally, like, I don't know. I believe that the people that are in charge of Disney are part of that Matrix. I believe that, you know, they're involved with it somehow. I don't believe that they're pawns in the Matrix. I believe that they're shot callers, because Disney is actually monopolizing lots of stuff. It's really interesting. There's a saying out there that says, if you want to know who's running things, think about who you're not allowed to criticize. Think about who you can't make fun of. Think about the people that are not getting pushback. Bill Gates has basically a monopoly over every PC computer that comes out. All the word processing systems are basically, you know, they're Windows. Really interesting. Bill Gates has a lot of monopoly powers, and Disney's got a lot of monopoly as well. So when the virus hit, it's just really interesting. When the virus hit, liquor stores did not close. Planned Parenthood did not close. But churches did. They didn't let you go to church. So the powers that be are enemies to God, because they're like, no, you can't gather. You're not allowed to gather together. That's dangerous. It's going to spread the virus, and that's not what we want. That when the BLM riots happened, it was okay just to gather together, and nobody was going to jail. And if they did go to jail, then they were released the same day under, you know, the government just throwing the charges out and saying, no, we're not going to do anything about that. And then, oh my gosh, seeing the statue of President Abraham Lincoln taken down because there was a slave on his knees in front of him. They're like, oh my gosh, that statue is so horrible. That is a horrible statue. It's showing a slave bowing down. Like, no. The first time I saw that statue, I knew exactly what it was. It wasn't Abraham Lincoln standing as a master over this slave. It was the slave on his knees in gratitude that he was finally a free person. That's what it was depicting. What has the woke done? The woke mob, all this woke cancel culture that has been removing statues and stuff like that. They removed all, basically all the black characters, the black mascots that were out there. Uncle Ben's rice, like the guy, the black guy, Uncle Ben, Aunt Jemima, she didn't look like a slave to me when I saw the most recent version of her. Originally, when it started out, yeah, it was a whole different looking woman, and it looked very messed up and very disrespectful. But the most recent version of her was not at all racist. It was a normal looking black woman who's been taken off. Yet Colonel Sanders is still there. The Quaker Oats guy is still there. And basically all the other non-black mascots are still there. But we lost a whole lot for no reason. People are getting, the cancel culture is happening all the time, and it's censoring things that have nothing to do with racism. People are putting out racism left and right and saying, oh, this is racist. But when you ask them specifics on how is something racist, they can't give you details. They can't give you evidence. Now, if you fall on one of those people that feels, Google it. Well, you should know. If you don't know, you need to look it up. If you're one of those individuals, let me just educate you on this concept of debate or discussion. You don't tell somebody to look up a claim you're making unless they doubt you and say, I don't believe in that. Then you say, look it up. You'll see that what I'm saying is true. When you make a claim, you are expected to back it up with evidence. You don't have to know the exact page number or something like that. But it's like when you're talking to a Christian and a Christian is telling you about Jesus Christ, they're expected to know where that teaching comes from. Oh, yeah, in the Bible, in the book of Matthew, it should say this. That's what they should know, especially if they're going to talk about something that, you know, your eternity is dependent upon. If your soul is dependent upon that, you should know, you know, the source of what you believe. And, you know, the literature that supports that. If you're talking about a law, you should know where to find that law. If you're talking about morality and ethical belief systems and stances, etc., you should know literature, documentation, proof, evidence, etc., that stand and support your claims. Google it, look it up, or you should already know. That's a white flag from you saying, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm only repeating what somebody else told me. So let's wake up. I mean, if anyone else has anything they'd like to say, I definitely welcome on. And I really, again, I appreciate Liam coming on and sharing your feedback and your ideas as well. Man, those were great points. I really appreciate that. And I just want people to wake up and start having discussions again. Again, that is the whole purpose for me having Real Talk with RJ. This podcast allows me to communicate with other people that have different views or that have similar views, where we can talk about how to find the center ground, the neutral ground. I am not a Muslim, but every time I see someone in a hijab or I see someone in a kufi, the traditional a Muslim hat that men are known to wear, or the hijab, which is what the scarf that often women are known to wear to cover up and be modest. Whenever I see someone I know is Muslim, I always greet them, assalamu alaikum. I do that out of respect for their beliefs. Even if I have a difference of opinion, I still do that to acknowledge respect of their beliefs. This is what they believe. If I see someone who's Jewish, and I say, shalom. If it is a Friday, Friday evening or Saturday, I would say Shabbat Shalom, because the conversations I've had with individuals have allowed me to learn these things. So I build bridges, even though we have differences of belief, I still greet them in the way that is known for their culture. And for anyone who's followed my podcast, I say hello in 28 languages. One of the reasons why I do that is because there are lots of negative stereotypes against my race, against my ethnic community. There's lots of stereotypes against me or against us. So in those stereotypes, those negative perspectives against my culture are based off of ignorance or possibly bad experiences that these people have had. So rather than complain and return it with hate and anger and frustration, what I do is every time I meet somebody who is a different culture that, you know, and that speaks a language in which I don't know how to say hello, I would ask them, where are you from? How do you say hello? Because that's the first thing you say to somebody is hello, right? When you meet them for the first time, you say hello. So what I do is I say hello to them in their own language with perfect pronunciation, because I won't stop practicing the way they taught me until I have it down. And every time I see them or someone in their culture, I will say hello to them in their own native tongue. And they can automatically tell I'm not Korean or I'm not Chinese or I'm not Japanese or Hmong, Laos, etc. They can tell that I'm not that. So when I say hello to them in their own language with perfect pronunciation, they look at me shocked. And then they ask me, whether it be broken English or perfect English, where did you learn that? And I say, from some of my friends or my associates or people in my church or you know, I love culture, I love language. And then that totally just destroys the wall of division that used to be there. And now we have something in common. They know that I'm interested in their culture, that I was willing to get to know them a little bit. And every time they see me, they have a smile on their face, and they'll sometimes talk to their friends and be like, hey, say it, tell her. And then I'll say, 안녕하세요, which is hello in Korean. And they're like, oh, 안녕하세요, 안녕하세요. And I say, 감사합니다, which is thank you and you're welcome. And I would bow in as a sign of respect. For the Asian culture, bowing at the waist is not a symbol of worship. Prostrating is a sign of worship. When they're prostrating or they're praying to their ancestors, they would actually get on their hands and knees and be flat out and actually put their head to the ground to bow, pray, or also to emperors. They would completely bow and prostrate themselves to show worship, adoration, or submission to authoritarian figures. But the way we shake hands and say, yes, sir, yes, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, it's the same thing that that often Asian cultures do as they bow at the waist. So whenever I see a Korean or Chinese or somebody with whom I've already spoken, I would say hello, or if they were Japanese, because I can kind of pick out different accents, different dialects for a lot of the language I know how to say hello in. So if it was a Japanese person, I would say ohayou gozaimasu or konnichiwa, arigato or doita shimaste. I would say hello or say different words to them to build bridges. Now, I'm not expecting everyone to do that. I'm not saying you should, but I'm telling you, it's incredible when you watch ignorance fall away like dust from a dirty car. When people no longer see your skin color but see you, it's incredible. But you can't expect somebody to do that if they've had an entire life full of people that show them only one side of a culture. We don't know what they've been through. We don't know how many people from our ethnic cultures have robbed them, which is why they may be suspicious of our people. We don't know. But you can teach a person that not all people of a certain ethnic demographic are the same by being different, by learning about that culture, by having a little conversation. What's your name? These people love their culture. And by just asking them, hey, what's your name? My name is so-and-so. Where are you from? From Korea. How do you say hello? Oh, they say hello like this. Oh, okay. And then try to remember it. And they'll smile seeing you try. Let's stop burning bridges just because the skin color looks different. Stop going to movies to watch white characters cast as black people because it's not done in a sincere way to show support of us. It's done to pander us. It's done to give us a pacifier to make us shut up. We deserve better. We are just as good as any other race, and any other race is just as good as us. Every race deserves their own characters, just like Coco, just like Encanto, just like Mulan, just like Pocahontas. When like every one of these are not Pocahontas as they recast, but like every movie out there that is a live action movie, they could make cartoon animation, they can make live action. We all deserve to be represented as original characters. There's nothing wrong with allowing a character that was drawn a certain way to have actors or actresses that only look that way. I would be irritated, highly irritated, if I saw Tom Hanks playing Dr. Martin Luther King in a movie. I'd be very upset about that. I'd be highly irritated if I saw Black Panther being being played by Liam Wilson. Liam Nielsen, excuse me. Liam Wilson, Liam Nielsen. I'd be irritated by that. Liam Nielsen, Chris Hemsworth, any person like that, I would be irritated to see a black role go to a white person or a white person depicting a black role. I don't think that is important. I don't think race is that important to recast a character, you know, as a new actor. I think that we're good enough to be who we are. And I think that character should stay close to the source material. We shouldn't rewrite a character just to pander to anyone else. As I bring this episode to a close, I really sincerely appreciate every one of you guys who took time to sit here and listen and be with me. And I know that you guys can always be anywhere you want to be or do anything you want to do. So thank you so much for allowing me into your homes, into your lives, into your ears, into your jobs, into your cars, and into your hearts. Thank you so much, and have a great day, great evening whenever you watch this. Have a great time, and don't forget, build bridges, don't burn them. Learn about other people, celebrate your differences, and like celebrate what you have in common. Look for what you have in common, because you'll find that the things we have in common overpower and outweigh what we disagree on. It's there, and if we're willing to see it, we can find it. If we're willing to unite, we can make this world a better place. It starts with us, not the government. The government's not going to help us, but we have the power to help each other. Christians can unite with non-Christians, and we can have an incredible result if we're willing to stop focusing on the small differences and focus on the bigger picture that we want, and that's a safer world for our kids to grow up in. That's peace, to be who we are, and not have to worry about walking on eggshells when we have an opinion that might be different than the next person. Let's wake up for real, because being woke is not awake. Thank you so much. Real Talk with RJ, signing out. Hey, everyone. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. Don't forget to like and subscribe and follow. Also, go check out my other episodes from Real Talk with RJ, available anywhere podcasts are available to be heard. Also, if you're a big fan of books, check out Soul Guardian by RJ Kurtz. It's a very unique vampire book, and I'm confident if you give it a shot, you're going to love it. It's also available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.